Yeah, I think successful founders, successful startups just don't quit. And there are a lot of times that where you're told no, where you're told, sorry, like this doesn't fit my strategy, or this is not a technology that I believe in, or whatever it might be. And you just got to keep plowing ahead. I faced a lot of that in the early days. And now, 6 years later, people talk about voice-based customer engagement as inevitable. I'm really proud of the impact that we've made on the hotel industry and other industries as well, to get them to understand the power of voice-first automated voice solutions. And there's a ton of growth. But I think the key to being a successful founder is not quitting.
You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. In hotels and vacation rentals, the top complaints or issues are noise, garbage, and parking. I may not be able to solve all of your parking and garbage problems, but I could definitely help with your noise problems. And that actually might just help your garbage and parking problems too. So NoiseAware is the only 100% privacy-safe noise monitoring solution that property managers and owners can use in order to ensure they avoid parties and other issues happening at their property. You won't get notified when a plate breaks, but if you have a little quiet get-together that kind of gets out of hand, like this, then NoiseAware will give you the peace of mind to ensure that you and your property, and of course, your profits, are protected. So use my code SLICKTALK20 to get 20% off of all noise monitoring devices and focus on the other important things that help you run your business. Now, thank you for checking out Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Get back to the episode, and don't forget to check out NoiseAware while you're listening. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, and I'm your host, Will Slickers. Of course, we have another amazing guest here today. I'm honored to join David Berger, who is the CEO and founder of Valara. And David, my friend, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Will. I love your intro music. You got me fired up for our conversation today.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about. We like not put people to sleep through this awesome podcast.
But, we'll do our best, right?
No, that's awesome. Well, hey, David, can you and I got to geek out a little bit on the phone. I would say like a couple weeks ago, but I first heard of you through the No Vacancy News podcast with Anthony and Glenn. Loved the conversation there. And I'm a big fan of audio and voice and all this tech stuff. And so when I got to see your episode on there, I was like, oh my gosh, we got to have David on to geek out about this. But where does your story begin in hospitality as an entrepreneur? You and I have similar friends in the industry. You're talking about Frontdesk and NoiseAware and all these other companies that we get to work with and know. So I'm really actually genuinely curious on where everything started for you.
Yeah. So it's been quite a journey. You know, it was January 2016. I managed two Airbnb apartments in Jersey City, New Jersey. Okay. And one day, one of my guests just kept asking me questions over and over and over again. Yeah. And I had other things to do. I was very busy that day. And I said, I feel like Alexa should answer these questions, not me. Yeah. And, you know, that really began the journey. I built, you know, what us in the startup world would call an MVP over really about, I think, 3 day period. Put it into those apartments, and my guests loved it. They got answers to their questions. I was able to share promotions and references and recommendations for the area. And guess what? I got less annoying questions about, you know, how to use the dishwasher and where to park and, you know, where to get a coffee nearby. It was all being handled by my voice assistant.
I love that. That's so cool. And so, yeah. So how'd you even get into running a short-term rental building? I'm just kind of, were you in hospitality before all this started? Did you kind of fall into it? Like everybody else says, they just, you know, stumbled upon Airbnb and what was created. So I'm kind of curious, how did that happen for you?
So, well, yes and no. So I grew up on Cape Cod. At 15, I was working in a go-kart track, and, you know, putting kids on go-karts and really kind of learning hospitality, and then began selling vacation ownership like timeshares. Okay. At a place called The Cove in Yarmouth, on Cape Cod, and then I took a hiatus from hospitality for a number of years. I actually went to law school, practice law in Washington D.C., and then, you know, as I came back to, you know, startup life, I guess it was, you know, January 2016 when I was like, you know, I still have a passion for this, and came back to it later in my career. And, you know, the last almost 6 years now, have really been a whirlwind.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, especially the last 2 years, I guess. So now I'm curious. So you said 2016 with Alexa, how popular was voice and all this stuff in 2016? Because I don't remember it being super huge as in where it is now with obviously what you guys have created and a couple other companies I've heard of, but was that a popular demand side, or is voice so very new? Alexa development skills, like, can you kind of walk us through what it was like in 2016 with the audio space?
Yeah, so January 2016, Amazon Alexa was 1 year old in the consumer market. The devices were ugly and expensive. Yeah. And I was walking around you know, hotels in New York City, introducing the device and what we could use it for. And, you know, there, I think the operational efficiency goals of the solution were obvious to people from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It immediately started to get traction. You know, it was just a steady climb from that point on.
Was there a big barrier to entry for a lot of people? Was there a lot of questions of privacy and security and just how all this worked? And, you know, I guess maybe even on the guest perspective, the learning curve of getting into voice, especially if it was so new. Mm-hmm. Granted, we do it. I think talk to text has gotten a lot better these days, you know, on an iPhone or whatever. But I remember back then I gave up. I hated talk to text and I hated voice because it was like so inaccurate. So for you guys, what was that like in that journey?
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely. I was asked about guest privacy and data security in just about every meeting that we did. It was really one of the first sort of features that we built was to protect guest privacy and protect the hotel's proprietary data. And, you know, as we listened, we spent a lot of time listening to the market. You know, we built out other features that allowed for easier management of the hardware, because we understood that managing hardware in guest rooms, you know, there was a cost associated with it. We made it easier for hotels to implement, so they didn't have to take rooms out of service to implement. We made it easier for the hotel staff to quickly adjust and change the content for specific guests or specific groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we learned about integrations and the importance of the ecosystem in hospitality. Really, you know, I like to say that, you know, we'll build the technology, but the magic really happens thanks to our integration partners. And, you know, our integration partners across staff alert systems, across task management systems, interactive television solutions, room control solutions, you name it, across the tech stack of your hotel's We've built integrations. We've voice enabled all those softwares, that's really the magic. When you talk to a device and something happens somewhere else in the hotel, related to their services or their IoT.
Oh, that's really cool. You just got me thinking. But I'm curious to know, do you guys find it being more used in vacation rental homes? What's the user in a hotel and vacation rentals?
So I'll say this. In the leisure market, the take rate, meaning the device being used at least one time during the stay, exceeds 90%.
Okay.
In business markets where, travelers are dropping their bags off and heading off to work or to their meetings, it's closer to 60 to 70%. This is an in-room device. The more people are in the rooms, the higher the take rates, and the more often during their stay, they're going to engage the device. At the high end, leisure markets where, we see guests spending a lot of time in their rooms, we're seeing almost 13 engagements with the solution every occupied room night, which is pretty miraculous. I don't use my device at home that often. So.
No, that's really cool. So you guys started out with an Alexa device. Did you eventually create your own devices? Is that where Velara's at now, to the point of your own software, your own hardware, your own everything?
No. So we made a strategic decision early on that we didn't want to build hardware. Building hardware is hard, notoriously. We were fortunate enough to have platform partners like Amazon, Google, particularly, but many others actually over time that offered us relatively inexpensive hardware that was ideal for our use case. I thought strategically it just didn't make sense to compete in the hardware game. We've also leveraged the natural language processing platforms of our partners. They're seeing much more data than anyone could ever imagine from their from the consumer market. So the natural language processing platforms really thrive and grow because of the data that they're gathering. So we're benefiting from that. Where we really focused was, how do we make these solutions compatible with commercial environments? Mm-hmm. What that meant was, there has to be a management interface through which all of the devices can be managed, all the conversations can be managed, and all of the integrations on the back end can be managed. And we need to provide a full suite of implementation and support services. Most of the clients that we work with, they don't have, IT folks on staff at every property that they manage. We provide that for them to make implementation and support hassle-free.
That's awesome. You asked a question to me on our pre-interview, that I want to ask to you. You asked me, what does it mean to go all in on audio? And I want to know for you, what does it mean to go all in on voice or in this direction that you guys have taken the company? Because it's kind of like a part two question, I guess. Like, what does it mean to go all in on voice or audio for you? But then where do you see it going in the future? Do you see this becoming a bigger increased market? Or is it at its point of cap?
Let me say it this way. The only thing I like better than a great radio show is a great radio show where callers engage and you can actually interact.
Yeah.
And the new technologies are allowing us to do is interact with dynamic information via voice. I think that's really, really innovative and game changing. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see interaction, not just in the home where it's already, taken off significantly, but across commercial properties. You're going to be, walking into office buildings and, letting a device know who you're there to see. you're going to be walking into restaurants and letting them know that you're there for your, you know, for your reservation. You know, and you're going to be walking down the street and you're going to ask object that will be a voice assistant where the bodega that you're walking towards down on the street changes the way we live.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. I'm curious to know, though, do you guys on the back end when you're building out this the software and device, is there a way that it can better pick up the audio? Like when you're in a restaurant, right? And if you go to check in at the hostess stand and it's a device, mm-hmm. and it's all the other audio coming in, how do you guys get it to really focus in on that mm-hmm. one particular question from the check-in, you know, the person that's made the reservation or whatever with all the background noise going on? Mm-hmm. How do you guys dictate that?
Yeah. So the background noise is isolated by the microphone arrays.
Okay.
It's not something we provide. We leverage, you know, microphone arrays provided by others. But that technology over the last 6 years has gotten much, much better, both in the ability to isolate the speaker and also understand the speaker, no matter their accent, their speech impediment, you know, how much background noise there is. The ability to understand and process the language that is spoken, has improved hundreds fold over the last 6 years.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I remember, you know, I don't know if it was like 2 or 3 years ago where, you know, you say the word Alexa or whatever, and then everyone on the Zoom call, their devices would all just go off and be like, what did you say? Did you call? And so I'm just always kind of curious how it's always improving. Now another question for you. So you were recently, Volare was recently acquired by Uniguest. And I'm curious to know for you from the startup days, like the beginning, when you're just getting started, you're going hotel to hotel to hotel to get this thing going. What was that journey in the beginning? What was the hardest part getting to this point for you? Was there ever a point where you were just like, man, voice might not be it? Or was there a point that you're just, I don't know. I love the founder's journey and the story and the kind of the, it looks great. Like you got acquired, but what was the journey like up to that point? I was curious to know.
Yeah. So I think successful founders, successful startups just don't quit.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of times that where, you know, you're told no, where you're told, you know, sorry, like this doesn't fit my strategy, or, you know, this is not a technology that I believe in, or, you know, whatever it might be. And you just got to keep plowing ahead. You know, faced a lot of that in the early days, you know, and now 6 years later, people talk about voice-based customer engagement as inevitable. So, you know, I'm really proud of the impact that we've made on the hotel industry and other industries as well, to get them to understand the power of voice first automated voice solutions. You know, there's a ton of growth ahead. You know, I think the key to being a successful founder is not quitting.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree 100%. Do you feel like you were early with voice? Do you feel we've had a lot of interviews with founders. They're like, you know, it wasn't the right time. You know, I think I told you on our pre-chat, I was like, I had the idea for Hospitality FM about a year plus early, and never executed on it until this year because I was like, it just wasn't the right timing. Did you feel like that at all throughout the stage of Lara?
Yeah. Well, let me say this. I think, you know, any founder, you know, takes their company to a place where, you know, where they can take it and then others build on it over time. They're famous examples of the, you know, the first social media platforms and now, you know, many others have built social media platforms on sort of based on that concept.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what others will build based on the concept we developed. We were the first mover. We were the pioneers in the market. That's always hard, but it also, for me, is a lot more fun. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed sort of creating a market segment and teaching our prospects and customers how to use a technology that quite handily, before we introduced it, they really weren't aware of. Mm-hmm. You know, that journey, while challenging, was and still sure is a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm curious, this is just another selfish question that I want to hear from you. Do you see podcasting and audio, like in the general like sense of this, becoming bigger and bigger, or do you see voice? I don't know. Where do you see like this whole audio podcast space going? Because I have a couple of thoughts on it, but I think I'm like you, very outnumbered when it comes to that. A lot of people are like, oh, you can't reach the amount of people that you want to reach on podcasts. It's not YouTube. You got to be on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. But anyways.
I don't have the data offhand, but my understanding is that podcasts can reach millions more people than a YouTube video. It may be a different demographic.
For sure.
And, you know, as long as one of the most important things as an entrepreneur is to know your customer. So as long as that's the customer you're looking to reach, I think it's a fantastic platform. You know, I'd also, encourage you to think multi-channel. It's funny, I say to my hotel clients all the time, I say, you know, all I do is sell interactive voice-first solutions, but don't forget about text messaging. Don't forget about using your IPTV solution to reach your guests. Don't forget about, digital signage in your lobby. There are lots of different channels through which, you can reach your guests. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You need to use all of them because your guests really aren't there to pay attention to you. So if you want to reach them, if you want to message them, you got to use all the channels. I think the same would go for your exciting new venture. Mm-hmm. Podcasts, awesome. YouTube, awesome. Let's get you into an interactive consumer Alexa skill or Google Action and reach that demographic that's on those platforms as well.
Yeah, that's one thing we're looking forward to 2022. It's going to be good for that side. Okay, back to you. Before enough of my selfish podcast audio questions, but so what is next? Like how is this really going to develop over the next couple of years? Do you feel like COVID and the whole pandemic just made this shift more directly towards voice and audio anyways, or do you think it was naturally going to happen without the pandemic? I'm kind of curious, just any thoughts on that? I've said this on Slick Talk many times before, and as time goes on, it becomes more and more true. Operators have been so used to multiple logins, different dashboards, and overall segregated data points for their hospitality brand. I'm proud to say this is no longer going to be the case for the industry. As a podcast partner, Journey MOS is made for operators by operators. One dashboard, one solution to keep your business in shape and ahead of the competition. If you think this is too good to be true, then you need to go to journey.com. That is JURNY.com to learn how Journey MOS can get you ahead of the big players in your market. And now back to the episode.
So, I think this pandemic is going to, and already has, significantly changed the way the hospitality industry does business. Mm-hmm. It is, revolutionizing how customers are attracted, what they're attracted for to hospitality venues. It's revolutionizing how we engage with those customers. And it's also revolutionizing what the customers want.
Yeah.
I think that folks who resist that, unfortunately, are going to, they're going to have challenges surviving. But those that, turn their businesses towards the new market dynamics are going to be hugely successful. And one of the things that I'm seeing out there in the market is that there are already big winners, from a business perspective out of this pandemic. Obviously, we're all dealing with, the health challenges and but from a business perspective, there are definitely winners that, have moved to address the unique needs that are coming out of this pandemic. And, as we I hope and pray that we are heading towards a post-pandemic world.
Yes.
And as we get there, you know, I think there are a lot of things that are, you know, perhaps better the way we've been living through this pandemic. I know for myself, I've gotten to spend a lot more time with my kids. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to become so much more efficient. You know, instead of to be on your show, I don't have to fly to your studio. I'm, you know, here in my home office.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that. I think that there are aspects of sort of what we've adjusted very quickly in an amazing way towards that will stay with us over the long term and benefit us as an industry, as entrepreneurs and as a society.
Yeah. Do you feel like a lot of people adjusted or shifted the way they did in COVID due to they had no real choice in order to really stay open? But not only that, do you feel like a lot of companies, as we head more towards a post-pandemic world, that will go back into old habits, into old operational ways without having to implement new things like technology and voice and all this other stuff? Or do you feel like it's really going to stick around now that people are so used to it after, you know, almost two years of being in this type of state in the whole world?
Yeah. So, well, never has the saying necessity is the mother of invention been more true than during this pandemic.
Yeah.
And you know, what's going to happen is, sure, there might be some people who want to revert to the old way, the old way of living, the old way of doing business. And, you know, I think what they're going to find is smaller markets for that. Mm-hmm. Less people willing to take an in-person meeting, yeah. Less people interested in heading off to a convention. You know, there still will be conventions. There still will be in-person meetings. But, you know, there will be less.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the new ways of engaging with each other will be more efficient mm-hmm. and better for everyone as we all try to, you know, succeed in our chosen professions.
I love it. Three things that you could say to any entrepreneur, any company in hospitality, hotel, vacation rental, restaurant, what would be the three things that they need to take away and start implementing into their business today?
Put me on the spot. All right, let's try this. So I would say communicate with your customers where they are. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't care what, if quote, you like Alexa or you like, you know, text messaging. That doesn't matter. It's what your customers want. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking to a prospect and they say, well, I don't know, you know, I don't use this at home or it freaks me out or whatever they say, guess what? They should listen to their customers, not themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hundreds of millions of their customers are engaging by automated voice. Mm-hmm. The next thing I would say is treat your people right. I think that, you know, a lot of employees and employers are going through a lot of challenges during this, you know, this time, and emotions can run high, and you know, your people, your team, they become your family, mm-hmm. And you got to treat them better than your family, because sometimes you let loose on your family and you can't let loose on your team.
Yeah.
And then number three, it's always the third one that's the challenge, right?
Yeah.
Number three, I think, you know, make sure you're having fun every day, because, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing that life can be shortened. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't always work out the way you planned. And, you know, if you spend your time doing something you don't love, well, you know, that isn't worth all the money in the world. Yeah. So, you know, focus on having fun, enjoying what you do. And you'll be successful, no matter, you know, how the finances work out.
Yeah. And I think, I love that. 'Cause like Gary Vee or Tony Robbins or all these other great entrepreneurs I like look up to, you know, success is how you see it. It's as long as you're happy. It doesn't have to be off your mom and dad's standards or how everyone else's standards are. So I think that's good advice and good key three takeaways for anyone listening today. David, I love to give opportunities to our guests on the show to send any listener to one place. So if they had one spot to get to know more about Valara, to more about you, where would you send them? Would it be LinkedIn, your website, whatever it may be? Where would you want anyone to go that's listening today?
I'm always happy to connect with people on LinkedIn. I think it's a fantastic platform. You can reach out to us through our website at valara.io, or you can email me directly with my initials, db@valara.ai. I'd also encourage folks to check out the Uniguest website at uniguest.com. Uniguest is really focused on connected content, deployed everywhere, and engaged audiences. Voice is one really exciting way to engage your audience. But as I said, there are lots of other channels for engaging with whoever your audience may be, and encourage folks to take a look at that as well.
Of course. And just now that you're kind of mentioning Uniguest, I know we didn't cover much of the acquisition or anything like that, but what was the aha moment for you when you're like, yeah, this is the direction I want to, this is a company I want to become a part of. What was the standout for you and Uniguest?
Yeah. So, over the years, every entrepreneur, when you start a company, you make some noise and folks reach out to inquire about, whether you're looking for capital, whether you're looking to be part of a large organization. And that happened to us over the years. I think, when I received an outreach from Jeff Hiscox, who is the CEO of Uniguest, he was also previously the CEO of Newmarket, and Amadeus Hospitality.
Yeah.
I checked references, I spoke with folks, no one in the industry had a better reputation than Jeff. So as I got to know him through the process, he really made me feel comfortable that our venture would be in really strong hands, not just good hands, but strong hands that will, help see it through to its greatest potential. And then when I looked at the platform that he had been building, we were the sixth acquisition of 2021 for Uniguest.
Oh, wow.
The various companies that they're bringing together under one roof that are now benefiting from the economies of scale and the financial support, as well as the expertise of the executive team that Jeff has put together, is really just tremendous. It is a real natural fit for Valara within that sort of internal ecosystem of the Uniguest product lines.
Awesome. What are you most excited for 2022? And I swear this is the last question.
So I still like creating new markets, and diving into new verticals. We have seen tremendous success over recent years in the hospitality market. We've seen tremendous success in senior living, in airports, in stadiums and retail outlets. I think we're going to break into another exciting new vertical in 2022.
Okay.
The impact on that business and the implications for that vertical are going to be huge. And I'm just ready for the challenge.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm geeked to watch what you guys do. I honestly, that's sounds exciting. I don't know what market, but I will definitely be watching your guys' press releases carefully throughout the next couple next year, obviously. But thank you so much for taking the time to join me as a guest and to have this conversation. It's something I truly enjoy. I know the audience that's gotten to know the story and become a big fan of the podcast is enjoying it as well. So just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and opportunity to chat with me today.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you having me. And, you know, you have a big fan of your podcast and myself.
Awesome. Well, that's great to hear. Slick Talkers, you heard it first. Go ahead, like and subscribe and check out all things Valara and connect with David on LinkedIn. And I'll make sure everything is in the show notes. So thank you very much, my friend. And we'll see you all again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week. As I've been growing my business and finding new ways to add to my property portfolio, I have to think about how I can anticipate the homeowner's needs, just like I do for my guests. One of the things owners always ask is, how is my property going to be protected? What happens if something gets damaged or worse? These are valid questions and concerns, and I have an opportunity to address these concerns before they even get mentioned, all thanks to having Safely as part of my toolkit. I can ensure all stakeholders are covered during a guest stay and use this information as a way to grow my business by ensuring my property owners know they can trust that I have them covered. If you're a professional property manager, then you need to get Safely in your tool belt so you can focus on operating and growing your business. Thanks for listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, back to an episode. What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast.